We have a problem. Our American culture, our cultures, see themselves through a funhouse mirror, but it would be wrong to actually call it fun. When I was growing up and learning about social studies, this was after classes called civics had all but disappeared from the curriculum, I was led to believe that we have freedom of speech and freedom of the press. But as A.J. Liebling said in 1960, freedom of the press is guaranteed only to those who own one. In other words, although you may have freedom of speech in this country today, your voice on its own does not have the same kind of massive free speech available to those who can broadcast to millions by virtue of media ownership. Way back in 2004, media reform advocate Robert McChesney reported, "The American media system is spinning out of control in a hyper-commercialized frenzy. Fewer than 10 transnational media conglomerates dominate much of our media. Fewer than 24 account for the overwhelming majority of our newspapers, magazines, films, television, radio, and books. With every aspect of our media culture now fair game for commercial exploitation, we can look forward to the full-scale commercialization of sports, arts, and education, the disappearance of notions of public service from public discourse, and the degeneration of journalism, political coverage, and children's programming under commercial pressure." I'll note that it's been 10 years since he said this, and some of this stuff has certainly come true. For democracy, this concentration of media power and attendant commercialization of public discourse are a disaster. An informed, participating citizenry depends on media that play a public service function. As James Madison once put it, "A popular government without popular information or the means of acquiring it is but a prologue to a farce or a tragedy, or perhaps both." But these democratic functions lie beyond the reach of the current American media system. If we are serious about democracy, then we need to work aggressively for reform. Media crisis management expert and Unitarian Universalist Helio Fred Garcia offers some simple examples of the attention distortions brought to us by the media. More reporters gathered in front of the New York Federal Courthouse for Martha Stewart's trial than for any prior event, including the World Trade Center bombings. In 2004, ABC, CBS, and ABC Evening News programs devoted 130 minutes to Martha Stewart. They devoted 26 minutes to the genocide in Darfur. ABC, 18 minutes. NBC, 5, and CBS, 3 minutes. And there were 5 times as many journalists covering the verdict at the Michael Jackson trial than there were accredited to the war in Iraq. This situation of skewed attention in media will be exacerbated now with the recent changes to end net neutrality. Internet service providers can now legally exert strong influence on customers, steering them to their own information sources, otherwise known as approved websites. In essence, further fracturing our information flow. Those who control the broadcast programming and choose the cable programs, who create the algorithms for returning your internet search results and your news feeds and the ranked results of your Facebook feed, they control the information that you're going to receive, that we all receive. And for those of you who turn to the odd corners of the internet to get real news from real journalists, you may find that democracynow.org, for example, being outside of your ISP's package, will stream to your computer at a frustratingly slow trickle. Is there any way that this can be healthy to making well-informed decisions, whether purchasing something at the store or participating in democracy? Democracy works best when it allows for the wisdom of crowds, the informed wisdom of crowds. A crowd of millions who all receive the same news stories may decide that wardrobe malfunctions or the polar vortex or the U.S. athletes' performances in the Olympics are the most important stories of the week. But because these stories are chosen by corporate news sources with economic interests, paying attention to what is absent and why is just as important. The news cycles did not tell us about the activities of the most intractable moneyed interests. The news rarely covers bankers who defy laws but stay out of jail. Money can be quite useful for handling stories so that they don't become news. Even Miley Cyrus has figured this out. In a recent interview with Jay Leno, she dispensed this advice to the currently trouble-prone Justin Bieber. You've got a lot of money. Pay people to make sure you don't get in trouble. The mass media generally steers clear of pro-GMO legislation passed for Monsanto and says very little about the multiple oil spills and fracking problems occurring across the U.S. There are minimal mentions of deaths due to the wars and drone attacks, little coverage on the burgeoning U.S. prison population, and how more money is invested in new privatized prisons while school budgets continue to shrink. These stories matter. How can we have an informed democracy when our discourse is controlled by the dominant ideologies of a few privileged media owners who determine what qualifies as news? Our mass media has always been a mirror our culture holds up to see itself. How can we know who we are when a large portion of what might qualify as important news happens away from the camera eye? How can we know what our face looks like when the camera focuses on an eyebrow or perhaps zooms in on a single pore? Maybe collectively we don't want to see ourselves. Maybe we don't want to see what we've become as a nation. And maybe there are people who would rather continue making profits away from the public eye, and they don't want us to see what they've become, what we've become. Either way, it's a lie, or at best a partial truth. Now, some of the Ten Commandments, I'm going to switch gears only slightly. Some of the Ten Commandments are a little hard to remember, and some might be contested by those of a less theistic nature. But thou shalt not bear false witness, that one's pretty clear among atheists and theists alike. Simply put, don't lie. Don't make up stories about what you saw or experienced. But we're steeped in transgressions marked by false witness, either through lies of omission or straightforward fabrications. For the most part, we've come to expect that our politicians will be duplicitous between their speech and their votes. And we know advertisements are frequently misleading entertainment having little to do with the products for sale. Drinking Budweiser in one's living room during the football game will not bring fame, glory, or the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. We now expect that the photos on the covers of magazines, mostly women's magazines, are photoshopped to be skinny, blemish-free caricatures because extreme dieting and professional makeup no longer go far enough to convey the unattainable image. We know that the real world shows on MTV and all of the ones that have since followed are scripted to be controversial so that they bring more viewers. And while the people presented by the media tend to reflect the lifestyles of the rich and famous, more and more people in real life are living lifestyles of the just getting by and unknown. What we're seeing is a world of artifice, which frowns on those who do not or cannot conform and participate. Those who desire or require authentic relationships may be marginalized as oddball outcasts. You may know some of these people. In the eyes of those who remain in a structured frame of reference, keeping to keep up with the Joneses as portrayed by the media. That's one unfriendly mirror. Far from being harmonious, this is entirely discordant with the songs and stories in our own hearts and lives. There are people in this very city, town, who do not get their life's message in front of the camera or microphone. There are people in this congregation who are suffering and longing to be heard. An authentic connection is more important than keeping up with somebody else's Joneses anyway. We need to meet each other again, face to face, not in cold, lonely cyberspace, and not through the lens of what the advertisements say we're missing. We know what we're missing. A holy connection, to our own selves and to each other. What we have been given is the damage caused by neglect of not being heard, of not seeing and hearing people reflecting our points of view. We have no framework and no vehicle available to contain the discourse which our heart most strongly calls to us. It's disheartening and it's disempowering. We need to make room for more views from the heart, no matter the opinions that they carry. Only through authentic conversation can we grow our spirits in a beneficial direction. When our roles are scripted or constrained, our spirits experience stasis and atrophy. On an interpersonal level and on a societal level, we must clean our mirrors with vinegar water and newsprint, removing all of the smudges, streaks, and toothpaste speckles so our collective view becomes one with the clear eye of the Samadhi warrior. To do that, we must develop a true picture of what is happening everywhere. The underrepresented voices must be heard. One equal voice per person. We must hear from people in prisons, people in our poorest communities, people displaced by unfair international economic policies, people who live in the countries occupied by our military. For now, the best way for those voices to be heard is for us to hear them and to amplify their voices by echoing the words from their circles to our circles, so that one day they can get to the circles of decision makers. And to be clear, we also are decision makers. This system of echoing gained popularity in 2011 during the Occupy movement. Reverend Jeremy Nickel of the Mission Peak UU congregation in Fremont, California, had this to say about his first experience at the Occupy Oakland General Assembly. "What I experienced was something so much deeper and more meaningful than I could have ever expected. For the first time in my life as an American, I experienced true democracy. The work had gotten underway about an hour before I arrived. Thousands of people were gathered peacefully, centered on a raised area where one person at a time could speak. And since the crowd was far larger than the small speaker system could reach, all the words were repeated by those close enough to hear, and so they radiated out in a slow, gentle echo, a system called the people's mic. It truly is the sound of people hearing each other. Eventually, if we engage collectively and struggle for it, these voices can be heard through the development of a democratic media system within the mass media. We vote for representatives in the halls of decision-making power. What might happen if we also voted for media representatives to gather our news and offer commentary? Such an institution could build a discourse worthy of the term democracy. Our media system will be what we make of it, or it will remain what others make of it. We the people, us, the people in the seats next to you and you yourself are the ones who can put this into practice in our congregation and in society at large. What is the most important thing that we as a congregation must do in order to be effective as advocates for all the issues that matter? Sarah Campbell, a longtime member of my congregation back in Pittsburgh, once told me, "When people are at war with themselves, they can't be true to you." I submit that when we see ourselves accurately and where we can practice compassion, we will no longer be at war with ourselves and can then be true and available to whomever calls to us into relationship. From my view, for this to be accomplished, we must foster a resolute faith in the voices of others to inform our own. I will close with these words from Reverend Leslie Takahashi Morris, entitled Marginal Wisdom. "They teach us to read in black and white. True is this, the rest false. You are whole or broken. Who you love is acceptable or not. Life tells its truth in many hues. But we are taught to think in either or, to believe the teachings of Jesus or Buddha, to believe in human potential or a power beyond a single will. I am broken or I am powerful. Life embraces multiple truths, speaks of both and of and. We are taught to see in absolutes, good versus evil, male versus female, old versus young, gay versus straight. Let us see the fractions, the spectrum, the margins. Let us open our hearts to the complexity of our worlds. Let us make our lives sanctuaries to nurture our many identities. The day is coming when all will know that the rainbow world is more gorgeous than monochrome, that a river of identities can ebb and flow over the static, stubborn rocks in its course, and that the margins hold the center.